Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Just thank you for this time, this moment, this atmosphere, this place, this presence. Father, that you have provided all of those things today. And so we ask right now, Father, as we hear from your word, Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our pathway. Our desire is to be led by you, that you would speak and we'd be able to hear you and know your voice. And so right now we ask, Father, that as you speak, prepare the ears of the hearer that we may open up, we receive what you have to say to us. You're leading and you're guiding, and that we receive it and your word becomes rhema in our life. We thank you for it. We can't live without it. And we give you glory and honor and praise. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So thank you. I'm not going to hold you too long. There's just a word that I know that Yahweh wants us to embrace this morning. And if you would, turn to the book of Luke. Dr. Luke. It's been said many times before. I really want you to grab hold of this. This ministry is an empowerment ministry. It is designed to build you up, prepare you to grow you. That's why we're here, to grow you in the word, to grow you in power, to grow you in authority, that you will be those perfected believers, as the word says. And the translation doesn't mean perfect, it means mature, that you are growing up in him. And that's why we are here. And all of us are trying to get from one point to another. All of us are trying to get to the end of something, or to get to the obtaining something. We're all trying to do that. Every day we're trying to obtain something. Some of us are trying to obtain peace. Some of us are trying to obtain healing. Some of us are trying to obtain our joy, our peace of mind. We want to obtain all these things. Some of the things are material. But to get to any of those things, it takes faith. You have to believe in his word to receive those things. And so that is what we're talking about. We've been talking for the last few weeks. If you didn't know the title, it's called Faith for Destiny. Because destiny is our destination. Wherever it is that we want to go, it's going to take faith to do that. And so faith is that vehicle. And so that's what we have been talking about. But there are some things about your faith that you need to understand. And there is an atmosphere that faith works in. And there is a way that faith can grow in you if you provide the right atmosphere. It's just like if you're trying to grow something, you have to have the right soil, right? So you have to put that seed in the proper soil with all the nutrients and everything, and then it can grow. So it has to have an atmosphere. So I'm using the handheld mic today because we're kind of pressed for time. But I want to remind you of who you are. There are four transformative works, before we get to Luke, four transformative works, things that happen to you when you come into the kingdom, when you receive Yeshua as your Savior. I need to remind you of these things, because what happens is that we forget about these things, and then we are not providing the proper soil. for what needs to grow in our lives. And so when you come to him, he redeems you. That means you become the redeemed. That means you're free. He frees you from all the bondages, the things that have been holding you down before you came to him. Alcoholism, depression, anxiety, you name it. All of those things that were keeping you from peace, that were keeping you from joy. He came to free you from those things. And so you become the redeemed. And the word says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anybody redeemed in this house? Right. Two, he brings us into right standing with God, with Yahweh. So when we come to Yeshua, when we come to the Savior, he brings us into the right standing. So that means that we become righteous, or we're made right. We're cleaned up. We're in right standing. We can stand up and say, everything's all right. Right? That's what he does for us. Third thing, when we come to him, he justifies us. That means that we're declared, we're certified, we're identified as his. There's something different about us, right? And that's who we are. That's what he does in us. He does that justification work. And the fourth thing is that he does all this to sanctify us. We become the sanctified. Sanctification means that he sets us apart for his use, for his holy service, right? He has stuff for us to do for his kingdom. So he sets us apart. So we're not a part of another kingdom. We're a part of his kingdom. And so he does these things. And a lot of believers lose sight of the fact that he does these things in us. So if we look at Luke, the fifth chapter, and we find fishermen that have been fishing all night. And here comes Yeshua and tells them, go to this part. And they're like, we've already been there. We've already been operating in our self-knowledge. Follow me. Who has an opinion? Everybody. Who has a way of doing things? Is this my way? Who has their way of doing things? Everybody has their way, right? And so that's what these fishermen were saying. We know fish. We know the seas. So we've been out there. We've been doing our thing. And you're telling us to go out again into the same place. We've done that. And Simon answered, said unto Yeshua. And this is the key to operating in faith. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Who has excuses? Y'all, ain't nobody going to raise their hand for that. You have reasons why we say that we don't have to do what somebody is asking us to do because. But. He said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, meaning, in spite of my human experience, I will let that go. I will let my sense knowledge go, what I see, what I think, what I smell, what I aura. And because you said it, I'm going to follow you. Somebody say, letting go. You got to let go of yourself to be able to be obedient to him. Let go of the doubt and everything. So this is what happened. Nevertheless, at thy word. So, saints, when we talk about the word, are you following me? The word, the word W-O-R-D, two Greek words come to mind. The logos and the rhema. The logos is Yahweh's written word. When you see it in print, see it up there, see it in your book, see it on your computer, see it on your phone, pad, Bible. That's the written word. We got a lot of saints that know the written word. They can read the logos, but it doesn't stop there. Faith operates in the rhema. Rhema is the spoken word. When you speak it, when you speak his word, something happens in you. Something activates. And so many believers think that they got it, but they're only living on the logos. The pages have not penetrated their hearts and minds. The words haven't penetrated. Yeah, you can read the word. Yeah, I know the word. I know the word. Hey, but is the word activated in you? Somebody say nevertheless. See the problem is that some of y'all don't get to nevertheless. We get to, I toil all night and I take nothing. I ain't going no further. But he says, you have to say nevertheless. If he can just get a few people to say nevertheless, but at your word, I will do whatever it is. So that's the problem. And so when we operate in the rhema, when the spoken word is it goes forth, right? It goes out into the atmosphere. That's where faith is developed. Because then I need you to follow me. When I hear the spoken word, and follow me, people who know my testimony, I needed a word on healing. Because the doctor said I had stage 4 cancer. So the word was spoken. But then when that word was spoken, I received something called revelation knowledge. And it was revealed to me that if I believe that spoken word, something's going to happen in me. And when revelation knowledge, when I made up my mind that I was going to act on that revelation knowledge and I put my faith to it, my healing came. So it had to come from the pages of the logos. It had to be spoken. And a lot of times, you guys, when we come up in here, you let me read the scripture. It needs to come out of your mouth. You're like, well, I don't have to read it. It's right there. No, when a word is spoken out into the atmosphere, something happens. Because when you speak it out, then you hear it. And the word says faith comes by hearing. So if I want more faith, I need some more hearing to take place. I need to hear some more stuff. And when I heard the word of healing that was available to me, it became rhema. I heard it, and then it was revealed to me. I got revelation knowledge that I need that. So for me to do that, I got to act on it. And so I started speaking my healing. He told me, walk like you're healed, talk like you're healed, act like you're healed, hold your posture like you're healed. And before you know it, I was healed. Whatever your thing is, maybe it's not healing, maybe it's your peace of mind, maybe it's joy, whatever it is that you need, you got to speak it. And so many times we let the enemy take our words. Instead of saying, hey, I'm healed, we say, oh, well, my sickness, my asthma, my allergies. Well, tell your neighbor it's yours. So we need to activate this stuff, right? And so go to Romans. And this is where it starts becoming real. All of you all need to enter into revelation knowledge, meaning it needs to be revealed to you that you need to start acting on the word that you hear. Whatever your situation is, I have found that there is no situation that I was in that the word didn't speak to. There was nothing that was in there Nothing that I had gone through that was not addressed in the word. So I could speak to every situation, but I got to speak it. Something happens when you speak the word. We live in a word activated situation where you speak it and something happens. When he created the universe, he didn't think, let there be light. The Bible says God said, let there be light. And what? There was light. And so when we go to Romans, the third chapter, and it says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of Yahweh without effect? Listen, whether you receive it or not, faith is the way you get it. Whether you believe it or not, or whether you receive it or not, hey, faith is a force. Faith is a law, just like gravity. You got to believe in this thing. And if you don't believe in this thing, whether you, it's going, it doesn't erase the fact that it works. Tell your neighbor, faith works. Whether you operate or not, it works. And just because you're not believing don't mean that it's without effect. Hey, I'm an example of what he can do in faith. Fourth verse. It says, God forbid. Yay. Let Yahweh be true. But every man a liar. Let's stop right there. Because listen, yeah, you haven't, maybe you don't have an example of healing, or maybe you use my example of healing, what he's done for me. But whether I'm here or not, whether you've experienced or not, you still got to believe that the God you serve is a healer. Because one day, you may need to speak that rhema word on your situation. Right? So let men be lie. Yah was true. Tell your neighbor, Yah was true. Whether you believe it or not. And so, this is what I need people to understand, is that you must believe for yourself. You must believe for yourself. Sometimes nobody's there. Sometimes you got to lay hands on yourself. Sometimes you got to receive it for yourself. And guess what? Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. So let Yahweh be true. James, if you're a Hebrew scholar, his name is Yaakov. James, the second chapter. And it says, the 14th verse. I need you guys to follow this because somebody gonna need faith tomorrow. Actually, somebody gonna need faith this afternoon. When you walk out of here. And you're gonna need something to work for you. I'm telling you. It works. And so it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? See, this is the thing. Some people think they have faith because they read about it. But I believe that it exists. I believe that it's needful. But faith does not become complete faith unless you have to work that thing. You got to activate it. So it says, what does it profit, my brethren, that a man say he has faith and has not works? This is not talking about works, you do good stuff.
Tell him about it.
Thank you. This is talking about faith where you are, say, I got to work it.
to be actively involved in this faith thing. That means that, can faith save him? No, if he's not activating it. It's not good enough to just know about it. I got to be about it. I got to live it. So that means that the stuff, and this is what makes a lot of people of believers or so-called Christians look like hypocrites. Because their profession of being a Christian is not consistent with what comes out of their mouth, their attitude, their lifestyle. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that you're striving to be better and mature, and you can acknowledge. So I see believers saying they're believers, but they got filthy mouths. And I'm not even saying they're cussing, but they won't speak the word. They won't forgive. I've heard believers tell another believer, "I will never forgive you for what you did." Well, that's not consistent with the life of a believer. Listen, whether you want to forgive or not, forgiveness is necessary, because you would not be able to sit in that chair that you're sitting in had it not been the forgiveness that was extended to you by Yahweh's grace and mercy. I will never forgive you for what you did 30 years ago. Okay, it's 30 years ago? Let's go back to the redemptive work. Real quick. You were redeemed. So you were supposed to be freed. Unforgiveness is bondage. And if you won't forgive, then you're not acting as the redeemed. Therefore, there's not much that you can get from the Father. How can you be asking for stuff and you won't forgive? Because you're still bound, because you're saying, "I will never." That means that there's no freedom in that. What you have said, "I am forever shackled to unforgiveness. And I don't care what Yahweh says. I'm holding on to unforgiveness." Isn't that deep? But that's what we were saying. And so our posture, right? The things that we say, the things that we hold on to, speak volumes about where we are in Him or in faith, or where we are not. And so right here, when we go back to the verse, the 18th verse of James, the second chapter, "Yea, a man say, thou hast faith." Oh, skip to the 17th verse. "Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone." You just have knowledge of faith, but you're not working that thing. Listen, it's hard to have faith. I have to have faith. Are you ready? When I go to sleep, I have to have faith that I'm going to wake up in the morning. Right? All of you all operated in perfect faith when you walked in here and sat on that chair. You believed that that chair was going to hold you. And guess what? It held you. Oh, thank God it held you. It's not hard. You just gotta, what? Believe. As sure as you plumped down in that chair and knew it was going to hold you up, trust Yahweh. Put whatever your cares are, whatever your situations are, in His hands, and know He's going to hold you up. Same principle. And so 18th verse says, "Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. There's evidence. The evidence of my faith is that I am standing here breathing right here in front of you, because the doctor said I was going to be here. But the evidence is that I believed enough and knew enough that I knew I was going to be healed, and I knew that I was going to be back. The enemy didn't want it, and he wants to steal your faith. 19th verse. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. This is why. You think you're doing such a good thing just because you believe in the concept of faith? That's not enough, because the word says the devil also believes. He believes in faith. So you ain't special just because you believe in. He's shaking in his boots because he knows what his end is. So he believes in faith. Tell your neighbor, it's not enough. Say, believing is not enough. I gotta act on it. Act on that belief. Act on that faith. Right? And so it says, 20th verse, but wilt thou? And this is a question to you. Oh man, somebody say woman. Oh vain man. Somebody say, oh vain woman. All y'all, that faith without works is dead. And we got people that sing about faith. Oh, they can sing so beautifully. Oh, thief. Hit every note. Like a bird. But when it comes time to walk in faith, they can't show it. They haven't been working it. Our attitude is faith. We walk faith. See, a real believer is walking faith. Real believer is talking faith. A real believer has the attitude of faith. And so these are the things that hinder. So go back really quickly, and I'm not going to hold you too long. Really quickly, give me a few more minutes. Go back to the four redemptive things. I can find what will hinder my faith in these things. What is going to stand between me and Yahweh? If he redeemed me, when I allow myself to be bound by other things, after he redeemed me, my faith won't work. Why? Because he's created an atmosphere for us to be able to operate successfully in faith. So if I don't believe that I'm the redeemed anymore because I'm bound by some stuff, my faith is not going to work. Why is that, Pastor Tom? Keep on looking. If I'm in right standing with him, and when I step outside of my righteousness, faith won't work. Why? Because what happens when you step outside of your righteousness? You're not righteous anymore. You've lost right standing. So now you're in wrong standing. So now you doubt your relationship with Yahweh, and the enemy loves to keep you in that state. This is the way he does it. Who's had a past? Well, when you became the freed, he took your past, all that grimy stuff that you did, all that scandalous, ratchet stuff. Because some of y'all, you knew, come on, you knew you were ratchet. You knew it. When you were doing, you was like, this is so ratchet. Oh, my God. And he took that stuff
And he put it under the blood. He erased that stuff. He cast it as far as the east was from the west. And he don't remember it anymore. So you were clean. Who remembers the feeling of releasing all that stuff? Didn't you feel so light? Didn't you feel so good? When you let it go. Right? And so, Yahweh, the way he operates, his MO, his modus operandi, is that he's not going to bring your past back to you again. He don't do that. It's gone. Now, guess who can bring your past back to you? The enemy. The enemy will bring your past back. That's how you identify it's the enemy. So what happens is that we call that condemnation when your past gets in the way, right? Well, if he's freed you, why are you letting your past get in the way, right? Whom the Son says free is what? Free indeed. So my past ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm a brand new person. Yeah, I was a pimp. I ain't a pimp no more. Maybe make it personal. I was Tom Slick. Well, but now I'm Tom Truth. Hallelujah. But that's what I'm saying. My past, let me give you an example. Let's go here to one of the grimiest believers that ever walked the earth. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, the 2nd verse. Paul, Shaul, this dude killed Christians. This dude persecuted Christians. He dropped dimes on them. He had them murdered. He, whatever thing, tortured, whatever thing that he could have done, he did it to them. Right? So, how can he recover from that? But on the Damascus Road, he had a transformation. When he met Yahweh on that road, he changed. So this is how he can say, 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 7th chapter. Is it on there? Did I put it in there? The 2nd verse. Do you all have it? 2 Corinthians 7:2. And it simply says this. Does yours say receive us? Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded. Hold up. This is Paul. He killed believers. How on earth can he say that he has wronged no man? How can he say he has corrupted no man? How can he say he has defrauded no man? Because he knew that after his Damascus Road experience, he was no longer that dude. He had been changed. Yahweh took him and cleaned him up. Yahweh transformed his life. So now he can talk like he is the what? Redeemed, because now as a brand new man, he can say, I haven't wronged nobody. But who would come up and try to bring his past up? Satan. And guess what? The last time I checked, Satan works through people. Well, how can you say you defrauded? You didn't defraud nobody. You killed Christians. And he can say, with all certainty and truth, I'm no longer that person anymore. That's under the blood. And how many of you have been in a situation where somebody has tried to take your past and throw it in your face? Especially when you become brand new. Yeah, do you remember in 1979? Shut up. I don't remember that. That was what? That was the old me. Not the brand new me. And let me just share this one thing with you before you leave today. John, the 14th chapter. When we speak, when we want to ask Yahweh for something, and he has transformed us, and we are in right standing, and we are grabbing hold of our justification and our sanctification and the fact that we are the redeemed and we are righteous, we can go to him and we can tell him what we want. And we can speak to him, and there's nothing holding us back. There's nothing between Yahweh and me. And this is what we want to maintain. A lot of people think that I can do whatever I want to do and I'm fine because he's loving. No, he's expecting you to maintain your righteousness. That's an opportunity for him to be, for you to be in his presence. And so John, the 14th chapter, the 10th verse says, "Believest thou," and this is Yeshua talking, "thou not that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you. I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He does the work." Hallelujah. So this is what he's saying to you. You're speaking the words. He's doing the work. Come on. Come on. You need something from him? You speaking the words. And you got to believe that he's doing the what? Work. So that means when something happens in your life or something comes up or a trial or a situation, speak the word. What am I going to do? What am I? You think you got to run and do stuff? Be still and know that he is God. And all you need to do is speak his words and believe it in faith. And he does the work. This is the problem with people that call themselves believers. They don't believe. But it's simple. Is the Father in you? Is the Holy Ghost in you? Are the words you speak that you see in the Logos and become Rhema, are they his words? Yes. Tell yourself, I need to speak the word. There's something that happened last week and you missed an opportunity to speak the word over it. There's something coming this week. And instead of your mind exclaiming, "Oh my God, OMG, why is this happening to me? Da da da." Speak the word. They told me, terminal, stage 4 cancer. I heard them, but I didn't let what they said come out of my mouth. I spoke the word when he said, "In his stripes, I am healed." He healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. I spoke the word. And when you don't know what else to say, speak his word. And I guarantee you, it will activate in your life. Somebody that believes that his word is true, say hallelujah. Father, your word, by your word, nevertheless, nevertheless, I don't care what's going on, nevertheless, by your word, I'll act on it. Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, which means you are the anointed one. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, you came as the word. You are the living Logos. That is Yeshua. And so right now, Father, continue to minister to us how your Logos and your Rhema and your revelation knowledge and your and the faith that you would tell us to operate in work together to achieve the desired results, whatever it is. Faith for destiny, faith for healing, faith for jobs, faith for provision, faith for peace of mind, whatever it is, all we have to do is speak your words over our life. And something happens when we speak the word of faith. Right now, there are some believers that are not operating at that level. Minister, show them, give them a love and desire for the word that they go deeper and deeper. That they see all of the opportunities to use your word. Instead of our words, we like to use our words, but it's better when we use your words. That we will operate in righteousness. And unfortunately, some have come to think that righteousness is about being better than somebody else. No. Righteousness is about being better than ourselves. Ah, because you allowed us to be better. You allowed us by the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross to overcome all of the things that are built into this flesh. And we can be better. We can achieve better. We can be better for you. So let us begin to operate in that righteousness, that right standing in you. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise in Yeshua's name. And while the heads are bowed, if there's someone here who wants to achieve that relationship with the Father through the Savior that allows them the ability to change their life situation, we can pray for you right here and right now. That life of being redeemed and being free, being justified, being righteous and being sanctified in Him is available to you today. If you want that, we can pray for you. All you have to do is raise your hands and say, I want that. I want that new life. I want that freedom in Him. I want to be able to speak the word. I want something to activate in me. I want it today. And if that's you, you raise your hand and we'll pray for you today that you get that you become in right standing. And you may say, I'm not in right standing. I want to be in right standing. It's available today and all you have to do is receive it. Just raise your hand if that's you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word that reverberates, it echoes, it continues to sound in us, around us, through us. We thank you for the word of faith that has gone forth today. We thank you for what you spoke prophetically today into this room, Father. We thank you, Father, for the praises that went up, Father, in your name and the atmosphere that you created, you allowed us to live in as you dwell in it. Let that continue to reverberate in the believer. Inspire and courage that will grab hold of that, Father, and will be better for it. And those that needed to receive you into their lives in a more dynamic way, create another opportunity for that to happen. And we give you glory for this. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. And if you're a believer, you say, Amen and amen. Let's give y'all a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Right, I'm going to turn it into the hands of...